The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up.
The enemy works with a smidgen of truth, right? There is a smidgen of truth that we are unlovable on some days and we are worth, you know, we didn't hit the mark, we failed. The beauty of God and the kingdom of God is that he says you don't have to hit the mark. The beauty of the kingdom of God is you don't have to perform to be loved. Like, you're loved because you are, because you exist.
Author and teacher Jenny Allen exposes the lie you don't know you believe.
Welcome to Life Today. We're glad you're here. I'm Randy Robinson. This is Belinda Lane.
Happy to be here, Randy.
Always good to be here. Yeah. Always good to be here with today's guest,
Jenny Allen. Oh, my goodness.
Allen.
We have her on again.
Again.
She came back, and we're talking about her newest book,
okay.
The Lie You Don't Know You Believe.
You Don't Know You Believe.
The Lie You Don't Know You Believe. And just to recap a little bit, in the previous show with her, we talked about how important it is to actually recognize that we all have core lies that we don't even know we believe, and starting to peel back the layers and recognize that we believe these lies is huge in living in freedom, living in truth, and actually making an impact in the world.
Yeah, well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Jenny, welcome back.
Oh, we're so glad you're with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Just for those who may have missed the last program, which, by the way, you can see all the programs at lifetoday.org, but for those who are just joining us today, what are these sort of the catch-alls?
Yeah.
What are the broad lies that we tend to believe?
Well, I remember talking to my counselor one time, and he mentioned, you know, we were talking about these three lies. And I was like, I don't think there's just three. And he was like, well, how many do you think there are? I was like, I think there's thousands.
Thousands, yeah.
You know, I think I believe thousands. He was like, give me one. And I gave him one, and he showed me how it boiled down to one of those three. So we believe, this is Psych 101, that all the identity lies we believe about ourselves really boil down to I am helpless, I am worthless, or I am unlovable. And that those three lies really begin to shape our identity from a young age and move on for decades and decades, left largely unchallenged, which is why I called it the lie you don't know you believe, because we think they're true.
I was not told any of those things. My parents never told me I was worthless or helpless or unlovable.
Yep.
So where would I get any of those ideas?
Do you struggle with any of those? And can you tell me? Because usually you can think of an age. I remember being in first grade and I lost one of my Smurf buttons. That's what we had. We had little Smurfs along the wall and I lost one. I still vividly remember putting my head on the desk, missing 5 minutes of recess and crying quietly through that whole 5 minutes because I felt so ashamed. And so we can pick up these lies in little ways, in big ways. Things happen. A dad walks out and he never said anything negative to you, but he left your family and now he lives in somewhere different. And immediately in your head, you pick up a lie that, gosh, I am worthless or I must not be lovable.
Or he wouldn't have left.
He wouldn't have left, yeah.
I had an experience in fifth grade where I was rejected by some schoolgirls.
Yeah.
And I have done some work in my life to know that I did pick up something there where I did feel like, you know, I'm less than, I'm unlovable. Yeah. But for me, that was walking with the Lord for a long time and having people around me, like in a lot of gracious ways, the Lord helped expose that lie.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, just on the streets and just kind of how are you really understanding that things I'm doing today are affecting me because I'm believing a lie.
Yeah. So I think it's just good to start taking inventory of your thoughts. What are the thoughts you're thinking about yourself? What are the thoughts you think in a stressful situation? I had someone, even just today, leave me a message. I don't know her, but she said, Jenny, I've read all your books, and I'll be honest, I saw the title for this one, and I didn't think I needed it. And then I went to this party, and I walked in, and immediately I felt insecure. And I was overcome and I felt insignificant. I thought, I don't belong here. Nobody wants to talk to me. And she was like, oh, This is what Jenny's talking about. So it can hit you. It can hit you at different times. And then when you start to take inventory of those thoughts, I really encourage you to say them out loud to someone, because when you say them out loud, they make a different kind of sense than they do in your own mind. And you start to go, oh, wait, I see a pattern. And so you're looking for patterns. But also there's a quiz on my website, JennyAllen.com, that's free. It asks you a few, 10 simple questions, and you can kind of diagnose. A lot of people think that they don't have one, and then they get one sent to them after they take the quiz, and they're like, oh, actually, that makes sense. And they're going back through their life and they see that theme. So I think it is a little bit tricky to get to it. But once you get to it, it is so powerful, because you start to recognize it as a lie rather than accepting it.
It feels like it's a thread you pull on, that if you pull a little bit, it's going to start unraveling a lot in your life. You're going to realize you've probably lived a lot with that lie.
But it's really hard to notice for yourself, because it's just the way you think. And you think it's true. So it's just there. It's just there in your psyche for decades. And
yeah, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to go take your quiz, because, I mean, the hardest person sometimes to see is yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think there's an illustration actually in your book that might indicate that sometimes we need a little help seeing what's true and what's not. I love that story, by the way. Would you tell us about your rescue?
Yeah, so my kids loved to rescue animals, especially my daughters, and they would bring in probably animals that had parents that were off getting them food, and they were really great at bringing home all kinds. We brought home bunnies and turtles and all kinds of things. And one day they brought home all these baby squirrels that were left on the road, the middle of the road. So that was a true rescue. We were like going to save these things. We were giving them droplets of milk. We look up, you know, how to save the squirrels, and we're giving them droplets of milk and all these things. We're taking care of these squirrels. And we lived in Austin, Texas, and they had a great animal shelter. They love their animals in Austin. And so we had become friends with everybody there. We take our, you know, next rescue to them. It's an hour drive. So we drive an hour with these squirrels to save their lives. And we've fed them, we've taken care of them. And we get there, and these, you know, people that love all the animals on the earth look at us like we are the craziest people in the world. And they're like, ma'am, you have rescued baby rats.
Did they want them?
No, they didn't even want them. Nobody wants them. I mean, they're like, what do we do with this? I'm sure they fed it to something else in the, you know, who knows? But I would just say, you know, we do this with our own mind. You know, we take care of these things. We protect these things. I remember talking to my counselor one time, and I was like, if I stop saying I should be doing this and I should be doing this, and I stop feeling the pressure I live under, then I'm just going to float out to sea. He was like, you're never going to do anything again, Jenny. You're never going to work out. You're never going to read your Bible. You're never going to do anything. Probably not. Like, I really believed that if I quit being so hard on myself, that I would just be lazy and never leave my bed, I guess. And he was like, does that sound like God? Like that your voice, the voice always in your head is that you should be doing something. And I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, but break that down a little bit, because you're actually hitting on something that I think is important to hear, that questioning all of our motivation of why we do what we do, is that kind of where it ends up being? Like, are we, you know, would I say that the things and the systems and the disciplines that I have they been motivated, you know, by something pure or by a lie to try to perform? How do you differentiate?
Oh, let me say this, that there's so much grace for all of this, right? We're just doing the best we can. Most of us are just doing the best we can. And I've had so many times that I've been so hard on myself, or I've tried to fix my motives, fix the lie and not live for it anymore. And I will just say this, that never works. Like beating it down and just saying, I don't want to think this anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. It just never works. And so everybody just exhale. Like we won't have the right motives. We can't look under every thought in our lives and question it. That's not what even God's calling us to do. There's a freedom that comes with this. It's an invitation. I see that these insecure thoughts, when I feel anxiety about something, these insecure thoughts are an invitation to just come back to what I know to be true about who I am, about who God says that I am. And there's grace for that. So yes, it is impacting everything about us, and it is worth discovering. But what health has looked like for me, what freedom has looked like for me, it's not that I never believe the lie, because you've got to realize we're being fed the lie everywhere in every way. The lies are backed up with evidence, because we have to hit the market work, because when you get on social media, you know, you feel rejection. People are even mean in the comments. Like you can't, or they don't like your post and your friend saw it. Like whatever. You can feel unlovable. It. You can feel all mm-hmm. these things and you can show the evidence. That is not our goal. Our goal is to, every time we feel these things, to take him to God and go, okay, what is true of me again? Remind me, like remind
That's
me
so good.
That I am not a product of my book sales. Like remind me that I am not mattering in this life because I have, you know, this many friends that call and care about me and want to, you know, spend time with me. Remind me that these are not the measuring sticks mm-hmm. by which we live.
Here's, I think, the tough question. At least it would be for me. It is for me. So I take your three kind of core lies and I go, okay, I'm worthless. Well, I have been at times. There are times when my wife really needed my help and my support and I didn't provide it. Or you go, I'm helpless. Well, I've been there. Good Lord. You know, you have loved ones, you pray for them and they die. You feel really helpless in that situation. And I'm unlovable. I know I've been a complete jerk. And you know, I would be real hard to love at that point.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, you're going, yeah, these are lies. And a lot of us are sitting here and going,
they're kind of true.
Nah, not entirely lies.
So,
there's some truth.
So there's a whole chapter in the book called The Lie Beneath the Lie. And the scarier lie that the enemy wants us to believe is that finally we could be in control, that we're not helpless, that finally we could control our lives, or that finally we could be loved by everyone. And no longer would that be an issue for us anymore. Or that we could finally hit some mark out there in the world and then we would matter and then we would be worth something. Mm. That's the lie under the lie, is that you think you could actually get this stuff. The reality is, you're right. There's a smidgen of truth. You can see in scripture, like at times, scripture calls us blades of grass, grasshoppers, like just meaningless. Our lives are passing, you know, like that. And we don't matter. And yes, we are sinners from the time we were born. And mm-hmm. and you could build a case for all of that, or it wouldn't be believable. Mm. The enemy works with a smidgen of truth, right? Mm-hmm. There is a smidgen of truth that we are unlovable on some days and we are worth, you know, we didn't hit the mark. We failed. The beauty of God and the kingdom of God is that he says you don't have to hit the mark. Mm. The beauty of the kingdom of God is you don't have to perform to be loved. Like, you're loved because you are, because you exist, because God knit you together in your mother's womb, and he knows every hair on your head, and he knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway, and he still made a plan to get you back. Yeah. The beauty of the story of God is that we get to exhale. That we get to turn the game of this world off and not hit the mark. If there is no kingdom of God and there is no Jesus and there is no Holy Spirit and there is no Father God, you need to perform. Yeah. You need to suck the marrow out of everything in this life. You need to hit the marks. You need to get the love. You need to get control wherever you can get it. And that's the goals of those that don't know God. But the Christian gets to go, it's not that I give up or resign, but I do it out of a place of love. My counselor one time gave this great example, because I said, wait, won't one day we will be graded? Because I was basically, everything I was doing, I was giving myself a grade. Mm. Parenting, after I finished a speaking event, after I, you know, even how I did with a girl's trip and like, was I loving enough and friendly and did I care about them more than myself? You know, I would just give myself a grade. Like, it was just the way my brain worked. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my counselor about it, and he said, do you think like one day you're going to get a grade? I was like, yes. And I showed him the scripture. I'm like, you know, the movie screen, like all our life is going to be shown and we're going to get a grade. And he was like, okay, so I want you to think about where that scripture falls. And how do you think God thinks about this? Like, does this sound like Jesus?
Right.
And the rest of the scripture. And he's like, here's the thing, Jenny, you're not going to float out to sea if you quit saying you should do this and take this pressure off of you. Because a good student doesn't focus on grades. A good student loves to learn. A good student wants to show up and know what the professor's teaching because a good student knows there's a purpose. And I was like, that changed everything for me. Like, why don't I stop giving myself grades and just love showing up with all my heart to do what God's put in me to do? It says he prepared good works for me to do in advance. Yep. And he's equipping me to do them. I don't have to manhandle them. You know, I don't have to perform. I can actually just rest in the spirit. And living that way has been so much more fun.
And also, you said something there that makes me think how important it is that we actually get in the Word and we know Scripture, because even there, when you brought that to your counselor, that was a Scripture and that is in the Word, but he had to kind of give you a 30,000-foot view of Jesus's heart behind what he's saying. And if we don't know Scripture, if we're not in the Word to be encouraged by that, then we can easily let the world tell us who we are or how to shape.
Know? When I talk about the kingdom of God and living in it, how would we know anything about it if we don't know the Word of God? Mm-hmm. But what we can tend to do is just zero into a verse or verses rather than the worldview of what God's saying. And when you think about, specifically, I tackled in this book and in the Bible study at greater length, the tension of the moment that the enemy appeared to Jesus in the wilderness. What a moment. I mean, this is this is enemy God facing off in the desert. And you see the devil use Scripture to try to tempt and taunt Jesus. You see Jesus use Scripture back with a point. But what Jesus does is, I'm going to answer you with a worldview. Like, he gave him Scriptures, but he was saying, I'm not living for this kingdom, I'm living for the next. In every answer, it was, I eat bread you don't know about. So he's saying, you know, that in every interaction, it was, he answered him with a view of his life and the world that came from Scripture, was rooted in Scripture, but the enemy used Scripture too. But he answered, Jesus answered with the stability of knowing whose he was and where he was going. And so that's what comes as we mature in Christ and know the Scriptures more and more, is we go, oh, wait, I know who I am. I know where I'm going, and I know who God is. And that gives you power. That gives you freedom, because you don't need love to come from everybody else around you. And, you know, I say a lot about my life right now. I feel like Lucy in Narnia riding on the back of Aslan. And I'm like, where are we going now? You know, like, I'm not in it to prove something. I'm not in it to achieve something. I'm in it to be where God wants me to be and to go where he wants me to go. And it's a lot more fun.
Yeah. As Dudley Hall talks about, it's knowing what is the story? What is the big story? And the big story of Christ is reconciling us fallen people to himself. And so these lies that you talk about, that they try to break into that. And a lot of what I think you're talking about is really just surrendering our own.
It is.
Our own thoughts and surrendering what the world tries to, and go, God, I just want to hear from you. Father, God, you tell me the truth, because he will. He's not hiding.
He will.
You even talk about that your husband had a birthday party and everybody went around and said something about him, and so many beautiful things were said. But the one thing that really kind of came to the surface was that he has an amount of self-forgetfulness, where he lives his life kind of forgetting about himself. And wouldn't it be great if, as believers, that's what we did, is would we believe less lies if really our focus was always how to serve others, how to love others?
He's really good at that. I'm always in awe. And he really walked through an identity crisis earlier in his life. He had to decide, like, am I in this to achieve and to win, or am I in this for the glory of God? And people ask him all the time, what does it feel like to be Jenny Allen's husband? Because I'm writing books and I'm speaking everywhere and I'm very visible, and he's not. I don't even think he's on social media. And he's like, I know my worth, and I know that sending her out the door is the best thing for the kingdom. And I've watched him wrestle with his own demons and find a lot of freedom. It is possible to live this way.
It is possible for everyone. And if you need a little more assistance that Jenny can offer, you'd like to walk through some of this process with her, we'd love to get this book into your hands. It's freeing. It's truth. And, you know, she talks about learning to serve, getting the focus off of yourself. That is actually a big step towards understanding God's heart, I believe. I've found that to be true in my life. You've seen that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's an opportunity. I want you to see some people who have really given their lives to helping others, but I also want to see how you fit into this, because here's a lie for you. Your response to this really won't make a difference. Truth is, we need all of you guys, every viewer, every Christian who feels God is moving them to be a part of this mission feeding outreach I want to show you, to be obedient. Just step out there and do it. You will make a difference. Watch this and you'll see how.
There are no crops being planted here. There's no food. When there's no rain and there's no crops and there's no food, there's also no life. And unfortunately, that is a reality this village knows all too well. Mothers burying children who've died of starvation, of malnutrition, children suffering and going to bed hungry night after night, simply because they don't have the ability to provide the food that their children need. You're looking at a child that is suffering because of malnutrition and the related diseases that come with it, like TB and others, that literally steal these children's lives. And I've got to tell you that I'm tired of this situation. I'm tired of watching children die in clinics like this. Child after child, mother after mother, whose heart is broken because of something so simple. The fact that children don't have enough food, it's an injustice. And it's actually the indictment, I believe, of our generation. The fact that in the world we live in today, with the abundance that we have, that we're not able to ensure that children like this don't suffer and die from malnutrition, the painful death of starvation. Please, you've got to change that. You and I have to actually take our responsibility. We've got to do what we can do because we're able. You're able and I'm able. And together, we need to act. We can't be silent anymore. We've got to take that action. And we've got to save their lives because we can. Because if we remain silent, the silent killer, malnutrition, will win the battle again and again and again.
You know, Belinda, when I watch that, I'm reminded of being out there. And a lot of people don't realize this, but those parents, the mother, even the children a lot of times, mm-hmm. they work in those fields every day. They plant. You saw them with some rudimentary tools there, you know. They work sun up to sun down to provide food for themselves.
I can't even imagine how it feels, though, if they have a drought season where they've done all this work.
That's it.
And then nothing grows.
Yeah. And through no fault of their own.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them are in countries that simply don't have systems that would provide any kind of backup. Frankly, a lot of them, there may be some conflict. But at the end of the day, you have people through who no fault of their own, and despite their hard work, are facing starvation and death. And that's where we're able to step in. And I look at that. I look at the way Isaac says, this is an injustice that we can bring God's justice into.
Yes, he was so passionate to say, this is kind of an indictment on us that we still, in this day and age, we're living at a time where children are still dying from hunger. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, and I love that that is the calling of the church. We were created as Christians for good works. And a good work is not just bringing food, because we do that in these emergency situations with your support. But I think it's also a God work, because, wow, what an opportunity to preach the gospel, to go into a place of darkness and share light. So with Mission Feeding, yes, we go in, we bring them the necessary food to get them through the next day and the next week. But we often do them in schools where we teach them basic skills, but also we teach them about the love of God to get them through the next generation, to give them a hope and a future, not just a meal. Mission Feeding is so much more than the emergency food, though that's where it starts. Mission Feeding really is sharing life in every way with people who desperately need it, people who are dying. That's why we ask you to go to the phone, go online. Make the best gift you can, knowing that it's very, very simple. $30 will, for example, help feed three children for several months. And you go, how can you do that? For one, it's the power of the dollar, but also it's the power of the people like Isaac and many that you see in these videos who are on the ground. The systems are in place. We're in a unique position at Life Outreach because we've been doing this for so long. We have the relationships and the systems, the distribution. so that $100 will help feed 10 children for several months. Many of you could give a gift of $1,000 and it would feed 100 children for several months. But do what you can, and please, I ask you with the same passion that you see from Esau, do it now. The situation in many places is so desperate that they literally cannot wait another day. We're there. We need you to step up to join us in mission feeding.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves critically depleted and many areas experiencing devastating famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us every single day. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to a prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Father's Heart Devotional. Drawing from Scripture and his past, James Robison takes you on a 90-day journey to help you experience a deeper, more personal relationship with God as your loving Father. With your gift of $100 or more, you will receive the Father's Heart Bundle. This stationery set, paired with the devotional, is a thoughtfully designed collection created to help you share encouragement, prayer, and the love of our Heavenly Father with those you care about. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children in desperate need, request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, the Good Shepherd. So please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you're going online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. You really can make a difference. And we would love to send you Jenny Allen's book, The Lie You Don't Know You Believe. And by the way, if you're struggling with some of those lies within yourself, maybe something you've heard on these programs has really made you want to reach out and have someone pray with you, that same phone number, we've got people that would love to just pray with you. This has been a real blessing, Belinda.
Such a blessing, The Lie You Don't Know You Believe. And so if they go to JennyAllen.com, they can also take the free quiz.
Yes.
That will help them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank
great
you,
resources.
Jenny, for being, good resources. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate you guys. We'd love to see you again here next time on Life Today.
See you soon.
You have to go beyond being a believer. I think that we have to move from being a believer to knowers.
Finding certainty in an uncertain world tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.